You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
You're really complaining about almost everything today.
I found it amazing. Do we have like 2 seconds?
Well, let me give the tickets away.
No, you hang on a second.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports. I got drawn up from a love
band. I wish she'd care to see, but she only cares when she's got the time. Interesting day here in Toronto. Interesting day.
Yeah. Johnny Enroth's going to the minors, and guess who's going to be there with him?
Kari Ramo.
Wouldn't that be fun in the locker room?
Well, they know what's going on.
They're
Everyone
buddies
knows
with
what's
each
going
other,
on.
I would imagine, but...
Really? How good are buddies?
I've got a... I was telling you off air, should I bring that hot take up immediately? Or
yeah, come out of the gate with a hot take.
This is sleight of hand. This is Babcock's sleight of hand. Hey, focus on... this over here instead of what's going on with the team. I think it's another distraction that he uses where, you know, if you start to take a look at the team and if the team's struggling a little bit or you're out of the playoffs and maybe the morale from a fan base isn't that high. Well, here's the problem. Your backup goalie who started 4 games. That's the guy. Get rid of him. Did it a year ago with Bernier. Around the same time. Holland will be next. And Corrado spaced out just for those distractions away from focusing on the team. That's my
You're saying this is a diversion tactic
diversion
by Babcock.
Tactic.
Okay. I think there might be something to that. I think he's a master of manipulating the media and trying to get people off his case or off other people's cases within the organization. But the more I see the way this is all playing out, the more it feels as if this was always the plan. That Kari Ramo was the guy they would have signed.
How is this the guy?
They would have signed him instead of Enroth.
But he wasn't healthy.
But he wasn't ready.
So they were probably saying, you know what? Hang around, and when you're ready by Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's more of an indictment on Sparks. And you guys know my feeling. I don't think when it's all said and done, Garrick Sparks will be an everyday NHL goaltender. I just don't think he is that guy. So you give Anton Biebel some experience in the minors. They've got Jeff Glass kicking around there as well. But this is an organization that doesn't have a ton of depth. And now we've proven, they've proven they've got a number one goaltender and not much after that. Really?
I said that yesterday.
You said, yeah, I don't want to revisit
their depth
a lot of things.
In the position
it's
as
the
an
worst.
Organization.
It's the worst in the NHL, Jeff. It's the worst in the NHL, the depth.
But
I know you're serious because you called me Jeff.
Yeah, I know. I should have called you O-Dog.
Luckily, though, Anderson appears to have
he's fine.
Come alive in Toronto.
He's going to be fine.
If you feel like you can get 65 games out of him, then there's a lot of teams who are looking at their backups and saying, I don't know what we're getting for the final 17 games, right? There's a lot of backups in the league that they're all kind of one and the same.
Right.
They might have hot years. They might not have hot years. There are some upper echelon guys. You look at what Chad Johnson's done.
Right.
A couple of other guys throughout the league who are quality backups or closer to tandem-type goaltenders.
Right.
But this is trending in a direction where Anderson's your number one, mm-hmm. and you're looking for a number two. It's not 1A, 1B.
A quality one that can give you 500-win hockey, but... let's not lose sight. Like, it's not like he's playing behind, you know, the LA Kings. Like, Enroth was fine against with the LA Kings last year because they're a solid defensive team. They don't give up much. He's looking and saying, all right, I've got Marincin. Notwithstanding Saturday night, give him props. He played well. But outside of that, he hasn't been very good this year. Hunwick hasn't been very good. Polak hasn't been very good. There's been ups and downs.
No, they're not a very good defensive team. But again, I think the Ramo stuff, I get the impression, this is simply me reading the tea leaves, if he was healthy over the summer, that's who they would have signed instead of Enroth. Because they've had him practicing with the team. He's been hanging around the MasterCard Center.
Which I've never heard of.
It is.
No one's heard of it. He's got his own stall down there. And I love what's going on now with the... he's going to the minors, and we'll see what happens. He's going to be a Maple Leaf. It seems very clear.
Unless a team with – because they'll have to waive him. to get him back in the NHL unless somebody grabs him.
No, they won't. That's my understanding. This ATO means this is like an American League tryout. What
or PTO. Or, it's
professional. No, it was an ATO that he signed.
Well, but it was clarified, I thought, again, by as a PTO.
Okay, well, what I read internally this morning was that he doesn't have to clear waivers because he's not officially signed.
But once he does, and if he signs an NHL deal, he'll have to clear waivers.
Why would he have to do that if he's a UFA?
Because you can't just bring in a guy halfway through the season.
Why
like
not?
Adam Partey the other day for the Nashville Predators had to clear waivers when he came from Milwaukee. He was with Milwaukee, and Nashville wanted to bring him up. They had to waive him through the
league. Yeah, he was with Milwaukee, though. But this, like, Ramo's just an NHL UFA.
No, He is going to be on an eight. I think it's a
okay.
PTO.
Anyway, let's clarify it.
We'll clarify
later in the afternoon.
He's
going
to have to be waived through the league.
Okay,
he doesn't just show up and play with the Maple Leafs. He has to be waived through the league and then play for the Maple Leafs if he gets an NHL.
But he was a UFA in the summer, wasn't he?
Right.
Yep.
Okay, I don't understand.
I don't get it either.
That doesn't make any sense. Why you're a UFA, then all of a sudden you have to be claimed off waivers. But maybe they do. We'll clarify that later, and we'll come back to it.
Once the season starts, you have to do.
Okay, so you would probably. No more than I would
maybe
in that
I'm wrong on
situation.
That,
but my point is, this Lou has this all figured out.
Oh,
all right?
Yeah.
It's not a situation where they're winging it here. I think they've got it all figured out. And Ramo, there's a reason he's been around the team. There's a reason now he signed this deal with the Marlies to go down and play with the Marlies. And I would guess that Ramo feels pretty comfortable with the situation here in Toronto and what they have and what's going on here and whatever Lamoriello and Babcock have said to him, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
But when I said it was an interesting day, that wasn't really what I was thinking about.
Sorry, no. Go ahead.
What do you got?
Well, the fact that Chris Sale is now a Boston Red Sox.
Oh, God.
Is what makes it interesting, and the fact that LeBron proved again last night that the Raptors just simply cannot roll with him.
Yeah.
Cannot roll with Cleveland. And that's – it's a reality. It's a sad reality. It's a defeatist attitude, but it's just simply the truth that, you know, leading into this game, everyone with their own calculator projecting that they have the best chance of representing the East. There was some ridiculous projection that came out that stated outside of Golden State, the Raptors have the best statistical chance of winning an NBA title.
Well, what about a fan's point of view? I watched it with my buddy, and we were watching the game. He said, the Cavs are just, they're going to find a way to win this game.
They're just better.
Yeah, they're just better.
They're just better, and LeBron is just better.
But who
was saying, that's what it is. They can't do it.
Who was saying statistically, like it was out there that they were saying that.
Well, it's always based on, like, what have you done this year? And the Raps had won six in a row, and Cleveland had lost three. And when you look at the underlying stats and you project, this is why.
Two words, LeBron James.
LeBron James, and why at times the analytics and the calculations make a lot of sense, and you should invest in them.
Right.
And there are other times where they just – it's a waste of time.
They've wasted your time.
They've wasted everyone's
time. How many times have I told you that if you want to talk about underlying stats and fancy stats, when it comes down to championships, in any sport, in any league, it's about elite talent. The LA Kings, when they won cups, they had the best numbers or possession because they had the best players. They were playing the best. Chicago, same thing. You get the best players, like elite talent, playing the best, you're going to win the championship. It's very simple.
Yeah.
It's almost
especially
like,
in the NBA.
Well, the NBA seems to be a sport that...
It's even more pronounced. If you've got LeBron in particular, you add Kyrie Irving to him, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith...
Yeah, like if you were a coach, Brian, of an elite team, like with elite talent, like Golden State or Cleveland or Chicago or any other Pittsburgh, would you even care about fancy stats? When you got Sidney Crosby to throw over the boards, when you're putting out LeBron or Steph Curry, Klay Thompson had 60 points last night. It's almost like the garbage teams care about those fancy stats.
Well,
because they're like, how do I find a way to compete? How do I get the puck more? Go ahead. Try to get the puck more, but you don't have players as good as that, so you're never going to win.
Here's, you know,
when it comes to getting to the ultimate level of actually winning a title,
your best player has helped you win. That's
the best, the most talented teams 9 times out of 10 are going to win.
You're right.
That's the way it works.
It's the, a lot of times, though, it's the teams that compete. Like, it's the opponents coming up against those, either the Cinderella story, the, you know, the team that got hot at the right time. Like, how many times did we talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins last year, especially when Sid was ice cold at Christmas? Like, was Jimmy Rutherford on thin ice? There were some moves that you didn't, you know, what were they doing with some of these moves? And then all of a sudden from, I don't know, let's just say February on, when the best player decided to be the best player in the world, Malkin was banged up, but they found a way, he got going. All of a sudden, their best players kicked in, and that's where you add in guys of value. See, that's where I think the fancy stats come in is David Perron for Hagelin, you know, because both of them are nice players, but they weren't fitting where they were. So you take a look at where's going to be a nice fit. Hagelin goes over, adds some speed to that lineup, and it's fresh in my mind. I mean, I did that game last night. Pittsburgh put up an 8 spot. That team is the best team I've seen live this year. Now, I've seen a lot of teams live, and man, they're good. And it comes back to star power.
But that is proving the point here. If over the next 10 games they go 2-8 and they look disinterested and terrible,
yeah,
I'm not sitting there saying, you know what, I got to be honest, when you look at the way Carolina's played, I think Carolina, like that's not, overthinking something that is quite simplistic.
I'm glad you brought up Carolina because I watched in New York Carolina play the Rangers. Carolina, you know what they did? They worked hard, man.
Grinded,
they had the puck.
Man.
They grinded. But you know what the Rangers did? Their skill. They just scored goals.
Won the game.
And they won the game 4-2. And Carolina grinded it and worked it, and they were in the corners. They were cycling. And then it was just boom, split second.
But here,
Rangers score.
Here's what you want as a complete.
Well, you
package,
want the full package. You want those talented guys that work like that. And that's essentially what Pittsburgh is. They're very good. They're very talented. They got Crosby and Malkin. And when they decide to work hard, you're not going to beat them.
In a tight system. Like, that's the thing. Like, Mike Johnston seemed to me that was pushing out 5 guys through the gate. Sullivan had a plan in place that worked well for his group. He identified we needed to have more pace to our game. He had that 8-second rule in his defensive zone where I wanted the puck out of my zone in 8 seconds. Whatever combination, I needed my forwards back. Like that, you add in talent plus systematic play, man, that makes you dangerous.
What's the cliche? Like if talent doesn't work, hard work will beat talent?
Hard work beats talent, but if talent works hard, there's no...
Goodbye.
It definitely has to be a combination of all of them. And that's what makes LeBron... as incredible as he is, because he is so motivated and he works his tail off every single day, every single night. I mean, you look at the greats, Crosby, everyone says that about Sid. The guy's in the gym at 5:30 in the morning. Look at Peyton Manning. He, like, doesn't sleep at home throughout his career. Just sit there and review video and work on plays and routes. And that's what makes them so great. They have the talent to be so great. But if they're motivated all the time, You need a break. You need something really lucky to happen. And it's even more pronounced again in the NBA, and that was the situation last night where the Raps came in rolling. They had won 6 in a row. They were feeling really good. They were moving up the power rankings. Again, people were punching numbers into the calculator and suggesting that here we go, they can potentially represent the East. And the Cavs roll in and said, okay, you know what, I'm actually going to send a message. Just to let you know, you're the second best team in the East. And that's what happened last night. The Raps are the second best team. I've been saying this for weeks. They're going to get their 50 wins. They're a very good team. They're like the Pacers in the 90s, but the Bulls are waiting for them. They're a really good team. Really good team. But the Bulls were always waiting for whoever was coming at them in the 90s, and LeBron is always waiting for whoever's coming at them.
Guys got 7 finals in a row.
In the 2010s.
How frustrating is that?
That's what it is. It sucks. It's terrible. But you have to,
like, do you have
just got to call a spade a spade. The guy's unbelievable.
Do you have any doubt, like, who's going to play in the NBA finals?
Absolutely none.
Here's
Golden State against Cleveland.
No kidding. Maybe San Antonio. Maybe
San Antonio.
Here's a terrible thing to say. You don't want to see it, but an injury. That could change the fortunes of something.
That's the only X factor.
I don't want to, because the Raps deserve full marks. But LeBron has an off 2 weeks in play, tweaks a groin, rolls an ankle. I mean,
I know, it's crazy. You need the eight ball out.
But that's why you play the games. That's why, you know, on paper, the Montreal Canadiens looked real good last year. 9-0, Carey Price gets hurt. It went tire fire. And if LeBron somehow, in a two-week span, something goes wrong with LeBron,
then they can win
his time.
They can win.
And that's ignorant of me to say because you don't want to wish, but that could happen. It could clearly happen. So give yourself the best opportunity. Be right there. Go head-to-head with them.
Mm-hmm.
And let the chips fall. Maybe they, you know.
That's what you say. Listen, I'm not saying lay down and die and blow it up now. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm just. Last night, everyone was all about, like, here we go. This is a statement game. This is where, you know, this is the barometer. And it ended up closer than it really was. And people are complaining about the refs. And listen, they both had 27 free throws. It went both ways. It wasn't the refs that dictated what happened last night, it was LeBron James who determined the game.
Yeah,
that's it. LeBron determined we're not losing tonight, just like he did Game 6. Remember that, where people, again, we were all getting confident because Raptors took the two games at home, I believe it was, and it was 2-2, and then it was 3-2, but it was like, I think they can win and push it to Game 7. And LeBron, before he even got on the plane in Cleveland to Toronto, he said, this is it. We're ending this in Game 6. And they smoked them. Like, it wasn't even close. And you just got to give it up to a great player, man. You got to give it up. Richard Griffin will join us in about 15 minutes on this Chris Sale trade. He's off from the White Sox to the Red Sox. What kind of an effect does this have on the Blue Jays and the AL East?
Why was he moved? Because of that garbage with the jersey last year?
I don't know. I would think that factored in a little bit, but the White Sox are not in a good spot. Like, they're in a blow-up, rebuild, load-up-on-young-talent type of spot. And they're looking at what the Cubs did, and they're saying that's what we should do. Take 3 or 4 years to blow it up, bring in as many young players as we can. And that's a move that I can understand. So anyway, we'll get into that in about 15 minutes. Speaking of rumors, a story yesterday came out that Babcock actually spoke to JVR and Nylander personally about trade rumors that had been circulating, including their names, which I found interesting that, you know, he went to talk to them, but then he also went public and told everyone that he went to talk to them. And Nylander in particular is one that I don't know how he came up. Like, I don't know why his name in particular, but I guess my read would be he's like the third tenor, right? Yeah. There's Matthews, Marner, and then there's Nylander.
They're the other guy. Is that what you're saying?
He's the other guy.
But he's not.
But he's a great talent.
Well, and everybody's doing the math saying, you know what, if you want a young defenseman, you're probably going to have to give up a young forward, and people just start the speculation.
Well, you speculate because there's no chance that Matthews or Marner is going anywhere.
Exactly.
Or Riley.
So you're getting, well, if you have to part with anything, you don't want to, but maybe that's the guy. So it's just process of elimination.
Yeah, these are rumors that aren't based on hating on the player at all. It's about being greedy if you're a Leaf fan because you want to improve, and it's about wanting to stack the team elsewhere. I also think the Taylor Hall trade factors into this a little bit because of what happened in Edmonton, where they loaded up on young forwards for a number of years, and then eventually Chiarelli decided, even if we're going to take a little bit of a hit here based on value – or overall talent.
Change something up.
Yeah. I got to change something up. I have to address my defense. Everyone understands that the Maple Leafs, that is clearly going to be a priority for them in the future. They need to address their defense. They need two, maybe three new bodies in here at some point. And I think they need at least one guy who can play, you know, top pairing minutes or at least top four. And again, to your point, Noodles, Matthews and Marner are not going anywhere, so don't even bother calling.
Yeah, don't waste the quarter.
So Nylander's name is going to come up. And that's just, a lot of it's Joe from the Bridge type conversation, but that's the way people react.
But if I'm the Maple Leafs, that's why you've created a little depth in your minor leagues. And you start looking at Kapanens and guys like that, saying there may not be a spot for them once they're NHL ready. That's where you can maybe sell those off, if that's the wrong wording, but those are the guys that could be dangling pieces.
They're assets. You build up your system.
And they've built up a lot of assets.
That's what the Red Sox did today. The Red Sox, by all accounts, have the deepest, best farm system in baseball, so they're willing to trade some great young talents to load up on a guy like Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're right. I mean,
you hope that
Kapanen can kind of fill in if need be. Leipzig can fill in other players down the road if need be.
What kind of vibe you think you're going to get from Ray today?
He's going to be so annoying.
What happened?
Well, he's a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
But is that good?
Well, it's good for him. Great. Yeah, Chris Sale is a really good player.
Yeah, like nice rotation
so
there.
Jerry's percentage really quickly. Edwin gone? Like 5%
yeah, it seems
he's
like,
here with?
Yeah, 5% give or take.
But is there any place this guy's going to land? Like, is he kind of screwed himself?
Well, I mentioned the Prince Fielder signing yesterday, where Fielder was in a similar situation, highly touted. Now, he was younger at the time. But it went deep into the offseason, and people kept saying, like, what's going on here? The market is dwindling. And then out of nowhere, Detroit came out with a 9-year, $214 million contract. That might end up happening. Like, it sounds like the agent is getting a little bit nervous here, and they're going to hold off talks and wait for teams to circle back to them.
Right.
But he's too good not to get paid.
Well, I think he'll be.
He's going to get paid.
He'll get paid, but it's just, do you think other teams would enter the sweepstakes now? Because originally there's probably two or three teams in the public that were like, oh, he's going there, he's going there, he's going there. And maybe there's a team that didn't even put an offer in because they're like, he's not coming.
I could see that. I wouldn't be shocked if it was Boston. I mean, now they're in for a penny, get in for a pound.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine that. Chris Sale, and then they sign Edwin. That would not shock me at all. And I even read a report this morning that Pablo Sandoval is actually looking pretty good these days.
I saw the picture of him. He's jacked.
He's jacked.
Sandoval's jacked?
He's in shape, apparently,
down in
Florida.
Didn't they banish him to the gym for like a year?
Yeah, he got injured, quote unquote. They said, get the hell out of here. He basically got Robidaud.
Ruptured boiler.
Yeah, they told him, you can't be around the team anymore.
You should see the picture. It doesn't even look like him.
Yeah, like he looks really good. Watch him step in and hit like Ortiz.
For sure.
Like everything's going to come up Red Sox somehow. It's so aggravating. We got to give them credit. They're aggressive.
Yeah.
Right? The rumors come out every single year. I'm hearing the Red Sox are going to just hold off this offseason. They're not going to get too involved. They don't want to spend money. They don't want to give up on prospects. And then they make the biggest splash
all the
time.
Be awesome to be a fan of that team, though. Because they always pull the trigger on the big deal.
They always want to win that next year.
That's a fan base you want to be a part of because that's water cooler material. Here you're like, okay, what are they thinking? What's going on? And are the Blue Jays better on paper right now than they were the last game of the season?
No, they're not. Absolutely
exactly.
not.
Like that's concerning for a fan.
It's very concerning. And they've got a lot of holes to fill here. They've got to get a left fielder, a right fielder, a backup catcher. They got to address the bullpen. They got a lot of moves, and that's the thing. People are like, "Oh, you got to spend money." Yeah, they got to spend money, but they literally have to get players. It's not even about like now going above and beyond what the budget is. You can't come into the season with like Melvin Upton and Dalton Pompey as your corner outfielders.
Yeah,
you can't do it. They've got to spend money. They got to go out there and get aggressive. They've got to bring in players.
Out of nowhere, they're going to have a couple big signings or something that is going to get everyone all fired up again.
I hope you're right.
I believe
I think
that.
You're probably right, but I certainly hope you're right.
Calling it.
Richard Griffin live from the winter meetings. He will join us to get his thoughts on the Chris Sale trade from Chicago to Boston and how will the Blue Jays react? What might they do to counter this move? We'll catch up with Richard Griffin next.
Coming up tomorrow at noon, the most comprehensive Leafs talk anywhere. Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo. But now, more of Overdrive with Hayes Noodles and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
So Ray will join us in about a half an hour. He's in Vancouver. I think he's flying out to San Jose tonight. And he said there was a lot of snow in Vancouver yesterday. He doesn't even own a shovel. And Nabil tweeted this out a couple hours ago that schools are canceled like all throughout the city of Vancouver. So they react to snow like the way Atlanta reacts to snow.
No, North Carolina.
Yeah,
I told
they never
you
get
before,
it.
My buddy's kids... Took them 12 hours to get home on the bus one time. It was a circus.
How much snow was there?
It was normal stuff for here. My brother and my best friends came down to Carolina for a hockey/golf trip. the worst snowstorm in North Carolina history hits. And they ended up staying for 3 or 4 extra days. They couldn't go anywhere. I've never in my life seen gentlemen drink as many beers because they were just locked in my house. And I had to sit and look at them all day for 5 days.
So you were still like practicing and going out and playing.
Yeah.
But they were just hanging out at your house.
Yeah, because you couldn't go anywhere. There was no golf, no nothing.
Was it actually a really bad snowstorm, though?
Yeah, it was bad.
Like, it was legitimately bad.
It was legit.
Yeah.
Well, see, here, it would be kind of like a normal snow, but for down there...
Well, and I expect that, because that really is foreign territory. But Vancouver...
They get a lot of rain.
They get a lot of rain, and I guess, you know, it doesn't snow a lot, but you still are a Canadian city. You would think just almost...
Maybe they'll call the Army in.
Based on birthright, they might. Get Mel Lastman out there.
Is that the guy's name? Mel, what is it?
Mel Aspen.
Mel Assman.
It was the Assman.
It was Rasmo Kramer.
Yes, man.
With a personalized plate.
Yeah, he was a proctologist, and then he became the mayor. It all worked out.
You're right. When you're in cities that is foreign territory, it happened in St. Louis one time. There was just a skiff of snow. People were pulling off to the side of the road and just getting out of their cars and walking.
Well, did you see, though, the videos in Montreal from
yesterday?
That was
scary.
That was really scary stuff.
Hill, I know that hill. It's right by the Marriott. It's right heading down to the Bell Center. That is a scary hill. I mean, there's bulldozers that are running into cars. It was very, very scary. I was watching the video. I hope people didn't get injured.
Yeah, it seemed as if...
It was kind of slow.
It seemed like
motion.
They were going slow enough, but you're talking about cars.
You're talking about a bus. Two buses hit.
I know. It was really scary. It was like the Titanic running into an iceberg. You're like, stop.
It's slow, and you're just, I was scared for those people.
Yeah, it was scary. Richard Griffin will join us. We'll hit the Grit Grinder later in the hour. Chris Sale is now a part of the Boston Red Sox rotation. So Rick Porcello, who won the Cy Young this year, thanks to Kate Upton, and David Price, and now Chris Sale. That's their 1-2-3. That is murderer's row in terms of arms. That's not good. And Edwin's leaving. Bautista's leaving. Steve Pierce will really get after him, I think. How do the Blue Jays respond? We'll get you that answer in 2 minutes. We'll hit the Grit Grinder later in the hour. Ray, just after 5 p.m. Chris Sale is now a member of the Boston Red Sox. And I guess John Gibbons, he's been dealing with some illness. I think he's got the flu or something, so he didn't fly up to the winter meetings in D.C. But he spoke with the media over the phone today. He essentially said, listen, he's honest, man. This is why I love him. Said, yeah, you got to believe that Red Sox are now the front runners. You got to believe they're the really, they're the best team. Thanks, Gibby. Like, we know that. And he's being 100% genuine and honest.
Yeah.
Isn't he supposed to say, I'll put my pitching staff up against that one any day of the week?
Just lie to us every once in a while and say, I still think we should be considered the best team in the American League East. But maybe that wouldn't even fly. Maybe here I am being a hypocrite, because if he said that, I'd probably be saying, Gibby, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, Price, just, Porcello, Sale.
He gets full marks for being honest in my book. I love it. Because that's what you want from people, right? We've been dying for that sheer honesty.
Yeah.
Where,
hey, listen, he's right. He's absolutely right. The Red Sox, they won the division a year ago. Ortiz is leaving, but they're still loaded with bats. They've still got Bogarts and Betts and Bradley Jr. and Pedroia. And now, again, apparently Sandoval is like 175 pounds.
A machine.
Yeah, he's somehow a marathon runner now. So he'll come back with just storming out of the gate, you would presume. And now they got the best rotation on paper, probably in all of baseball. But the Jays are still a good team. And you can't have everything. Like, it's a natural inclination to say, well, why didn't the Jays go out there and get them? A, they don't have the farm system to pay that price. B, if they did, they wouldn't pay it on a starting rotation because they feel good about the rotation.
Well, when the preseason projection comes out, a lot of people last year on ESPN or whoever does the baseball projections, they all loved the Blue Jays because the big term was they mash. So what? I wonder what they're going to say when the roster is kind of finalized. What are they going to say about this Blue Jays team next year? Because they're going to lose two guys that were a big part of the mashing.
Yeah, the two guys that you could count on, if healthy, for 35-plus home runs are gone. Like 70-plus home runs are out of the lineup.
So they're going to love the Blue Jays because...
But what if the Blue Jays changed their style? What if they changed their style of play? That was what everyone had talked about. They couldn't play, what, the short ball, is it called?
Small ball, Small ball. Spread it out, more left-handed hitting, don't strike out as much, maybe walk a little
bit
more.
What if they grind out wins?
I hear you, but this has always been my issue with this whole conversation. Okay, they lost to Cleveland. They ran into unbelievable pitching,
right,
and Andrew Miller put forth a performance unlike any we've maybe ever seen in terms of a middle reliever coming in all over the game. Fifth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning. The guy was
brilliant,
unhittable. He was brilliant. They still got to the ALCS 2 years in a row.
Right.
They underperformed offensively last year. I would expect them to bounce back this year if you brought back that lineup. Bautista was injured the whole year.
Yep.
I think if he's healthy, he's still got a lot left in the tank. Edwin, lock him in. He's going to hit his 40 home runs, OPS up over 900. So I'm concerned that they're overthinking this. They're being too analytical, and they feel like they have to spread the wealth when maybe you don't. Maybe you're just a really good team, and why not continue to be a really good team? Maybe add to that. Or fill the holes differently in left field and right field as opposed to changing everything or, you know, a good portion of your lineup.
Can you wait it out and get Bautista back at a
maybe
a slight discount?
But based on what you know about him, do you think he's going to come crawling back to the Blue Jays?
I don't.
Do you
believe
think they
so?
Want him back in that locker room?
We were just talking.
I don't think a lot of teams want him in that locker room.
But I locker rooms are different in baseball, aren't they? Like I don't think it's. I get the. The impression, and from the ones I've been in and the guys I've been friends with, and I've sat in the locker room a lot of times during games or during rain delays, these guys barely even talk to each other. They're all on their own program because it's kind of, it's not like they're real tight. Everyone kind of, the pitchers do their own thing, and it was a weird dynamic for me. But you just said it, Brian. If he's healthy, he's a valuable player. So I don't think it was the question of can he play or not? It's health and maybe term and financial.
Well, I do think, again, though, the ego comes into play.
From his standpoint.
From his standpoint.
From not the Blue Jays.
Like Bautista, he's going to have to. Now, the Jays could make him feel better about the situation, butter him up a little bit. If in a month they feel like that's still a positive move for them, maybe you pay him the $25 million he wants on a one-year deal. It's a lot to invest, but it's only a one-year deal. It's not, you're not overcommitting in terms of security.
Right.
You know, maybe you give him a 2-year, $55 million deal, you know, or whatever it is, $45 million deal. I don't know. But when you consider what he did, where he took over spring training in a fashion that I don't think I've ever seen before, day one he shows up and goes on a 20-minute rant about how much he's worth, how much he expects, no more discounts. This is a publicly traded company. I'm tracking the stocks. I mean, he had it all set up. He had crib notes. He walked in. He's like, I'm hitting all of these different check marks. And then he goes out and has an injury-riddled down year.
Yeah. He hits 22 homers.
And now teams are like, I'm not giving you the money you think you're getting.
And
now he's going to circle back? I don't know.
Management, guaranteed, they took note of that. Said, all right, you think you've got leverage? We'll wait until we've got leverage over you.
Right. Definitely.
Management can be fierce when they want to be, too.
They can be petty if they want to.
Well, it was pettiness all over pro sports. There's pettiness in this world, period.
Well, I think it was our first show in this time slot that he made those comments.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Because
end of
we
February.
Came out of the gate, guns blazing, for like the first hour about baseball. And
man, did we rattle some Leafs lunch fans.
I know.
We rattled some cages because we spent the previous week saying we're moving to four, but we're going to have a very similar show.
Nothing's changing.
And then we come out of the gate with audio of Bautista, and we're breaking down his comments.
That was his doing.
Couldn't help it, man.
Did he ruin our first show? I don't think he did.
No, I don't think so. I think if we were doing the lunch, we would have still talked about him.
Yeah.
How could he not? Everyone in the city was talking about him.
I think
the guy dropped the mic. The
guy's kind of funny. You're right, because he had a list of things that he...
He referenced the stock price of Rodgers.
I just don't understand that. Both of the players saying they want X amount of years, X amount of dollars. And I told you yesterday, it was kind of like selling a house to me. It's like, okay, come in and look. Watch what I did throughout the year, or look at the house. And then you take offers on the Monday. So it's like, why? Like, did you? You must have scared people off if you said, "I want the 5 years. I want the 25 a year." Why not just let your body of work play itself out and then just say, "What's this worth to you? Mm-hmm. What do you want to give me?"
Well, and the Jays, based on their calculations, and we talked about this yesterday, I think Craig brought this point up, and I think he's right. The Jays knew basically any offer they were going to extend to him, he wasn't going to take because he had gotten this far. He was going to check out what was on the market.
Right.
It's kind of like the Stamkos situation.
Right.
He wasn't on the market long. He called Tampa back and said, "I'll take it."
Right.
But by then, Yzerman probably knew he's going to go talk to other teams. Why would you wait this long and not talk to other teams? So even though the Jays extended him 4 years, $20 million per, and that's starting to look like a reasonable offer, it may not get it done in the end. I still think he'll get paid more than that. I don't know if he'll get more years than that, but I think he'll get $22, $23 million a year. But you can't say that they offered him a one-year, $15 million disrespectful, gutless offer.
They didn't disrespect him.
Four years, $20 million per. They're like, that's a good deal. It's a lot of money.
And they've probably had it, because they're an analytic team, they probably have put together the numbers of where they project he's going to be and what's a fair market offer.
They're not going to negotiate against themselves.
Exactly.
This is what we think will be out there, so you can go to Texas and take it or stay in Toronto and take it. He decided not to take it.
I would have a hard time saying no to that. A four-year deal at $20 million.
Well, hold on. If you can get four, now this comes down to
regardless, Jamie. Just $80 million, like.
But how much do you trust your agent in a situation like this? Do you totally recuse yourself and say you figure it out and call me when I have to sign?
My agents, I had Newport near the end, like the last 6-7 years of my career. They could have told me anything, and I would believe it because that was a reputable agency, and they had a great pulse of the league. And I knew exactly, like, as a player, you know exactly where you believe you fit in. You're only as good as the ammo you give your agent. Edwin's given them decent ammo, or his agency, or whatever, whoever he deals with.
He's a great player, yeah. Go sell it.
That's their job. They got to get to work.
Ray, in about 20 minutes, we'll hit the grit grinder next.
Catch TSN Hockey Insider Bob McKenzie on Naylor and Landsberg in the morning, tomorrow at 8. Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder is brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
Klay Thompson, 60 points. Not your typical grit grinder, a tall grit grinder.
He had 60 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
Isn't that gross?
60.
That's redunk.
It is.
That team is stupid, man. And I guess...
That team is stupid.
Brian Cashman, who runs the operation down in New York with the Yankees... He just compared the Red Sox to the Golden State Warriors after the Chris Sale trade.
Really?
So Chris Sale is basically the Kevin Durant of baseball now. That's what you want to hear. Gibbons is pumping their tires. Cashman's pumping their tires.
That's funny.
Yeah, Clay's a good one. He was a graceful grinder last night.
I don't know if you guys got into this yesterday, but my grit grinder is that Australian guy who punched a kangaroo in the face. Because I thought that was one of the...
Was that real, though?
I think it was real. I've watched it... No less than 100 times. It was on CNN today. It is...
That kangaroo, he didn't know what was going on.
But
He got punched in the face.
But he had the dog in a headlock earlier. Like, that...
I wouldn't mess with a kangaroo.
I couldn't stop laughing. No, kangaroos, they're mean animals. But now, and I know
he
people
had
are
no
say,
answer to that jab, though.
He squared off with him. Squared off with the kangaroo. Like, the kangaroo was all business, too. He squared off with the man.
And he popped him right in the
popped
head.
Popped him. And the look on his face.
It was a great video. The kangaroo, I think, is fine. He went on with his life.
Yeah, like let's not get with too the animal crazy people, because he did save a dog. So let's not. So it's either the dog or the kangaroo.
Right.
One of them's getting it.
Right.
So the kangaroo got it. That guy's my grit grinder because he jumped off the truck and he was all business to save his dog.
Those Aussies, man, they live in a different world down there. There's the you would hate life in Australia, Noodles.
Well, I There's spiders.
Water everywhere, spiders, snakes.
Not a chance. Too much
nature.
That was the greatest punch I've ever seen.
I'll go with Russell Westbrook. He did it again last night. Six straight games with a triple-double. Six in a row. Remember we were talking about DeMar and Jerry's percentages, who's going to win the MVP? I think Westbrook's in a pretty good spot right now. The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology. They're the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear,
guaranteed.
Ray's going to be a pain in the ass today, and he'll join us in 10 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.